Well, we started Advent season. The next 4 weeks is Advent. Things will be different. I mean, after all, what do we do during Advent season? We start the opening acclamation, you know, which I notice some of you are rather weak on the response, you know. Bless the Lord who forgives all our sins, and you come back with, and his mercy endures forever. Then we have, you know, the Kyrie, Lord be with you, and also, you know, I mean, we have that. The Advent wreath, the first Sunday. We go right straight through. Things are different. It's a more of a penitential season. It's a different type of season. It's only 4 weeks, but nonetheless, it's the time when we prepare for both the first coming and the second coming of our Lord. You know, I thought about that, and I want to ask you a question. And, you know, do you know what season we just ended? For 10 points on the trip to the Bahamas, does anybody know what season we just ended? Well, you're correct, but that wasn't the answer I was looking for. Hurricane season was what we just ended. I mean, for the last 6 months, we've been preparing for hurricanes. How'd that work out for you this year, huh? I mean, how many of you in your preparation for a hurricane, you know, truly, you know, now you're looking at it, how many cases of water do you have stacked in your garage? I've got two left. How much gasoline do you have extra? Did any of you, buy a generator this year, start it up once, but really not have to use it? I mean, if you're old school, this is where you're really in trouble, because your bathtub is still filled with water. Hurricane season. I mean, we prepare in a way, in a sense, as the old saying goes, we prepare for the worst, but we hope for the best, correct? You know, that's dramatically different than preparation for the coming of the Son of Man as it was be put in the scriptures during Advent season. It's almost the opposite pole. Because during Advent, we don't prepare for the worst, even though the description of the coming of the Son of Man isn't real pleasant, it doesn't look like. But nonetheless, we prepare in a different way. We don't prepare for the worst and hope for the best, because we know that when the Son of Man comes, then truly the fullness of the kingdom will be here. And even though it might be a little bit difficult, we don't look to say, how can I just get through it all? We look, no, wait a second, how can we be faithful in the midst and not miss one beat of the coming of our Lord? You know, I'm always amazed at that. I'm always amazed at that. And it's really hard to do. I mean, when you hear about what, you know, the coming of the Son of Man supposed to be like, you know, it might be regular time, you know, it says in, you know, in the gospel today, you know, people will be getting married and giving in marriage, and, you know, two people will be in a field and the whole nine yards. But they also talk about earthquakes and destruction that'll take place. I mean, I don't know about you, but when I hear that stuff, I look at Advent in a lot of ways the same way as I look at hurricane season. Well, I better store up. I better get out of town quick, you know, if that stuff starts happening. But truly, that's not what the scriptures teach us. The scriptures teach us that even though it may be a difficult transition from the already that we are in of the kingdom to the not yet fully in, when we go fully into it, we are not supposed to go with, number one, expectation, but rather with anticipation. Did you ever hear those two words before, planted next to each other? Because truly, that's the difference. When we expect what God's going to do, I don't know about you, but I've always been kind of sort of discouraged or surprised, or, you know, God just doesn't listen to what I have to tell him and the way I want it to turn out. But when I anticipate, it always turns out better than what I expected. I always learn what I'm supposed to learn, so I don't fall into the same holes that I used to fall in before. I just know that he's going to be with me no matter what goes on. You see, I believe that's what Advent really is where we really prepare to be in our faith rather than have all our provisions taken care of. The reading from Romans basically says that. Make no provision for the things of the dark. Make no provision for all those things that you think you have to live. But rather, put on Jesus Christ. Put on Jesus Christ. Put on the armor of light. Well, the armor of light is not filling your bathtub. The armor of light is not a generator. The armor of light is not having enough gasoline and, you know, enough cans of tuna fish in your cupboard. The armor of light is being right with the Lord. That's what the armor of light is. It's having a faith that's not just up here, but it's down here. You know, I've heard it say one time that you don't think your way into a new way of living. Rather, you live your way into a new way of thinking. That transformation is really all about that. Transformation is where you let go of things, not just change things. I mean, how many times have you ever said to your life, you know, well, I got to change that, you know? I guarantee everyone, I know most of you pretty well. I know most of you said, and you've heard me say, I'm going to change that. But change really doesn't really help you get anywhere. Not unless you let go of the thing that you moved from. I mean, we might say to ourselves, you know, I'm going to change. I'm not going to be resentful anymore. I'm just going to be grateful. But truly, unless you let go of that resentment, you're carrying it with you. And you might outwardly be seeming like you're grateful, but inwardly, to be upfront with you, you're miserable. You might look like you got a smile on your face, but around inside, you're still like, I want to get even. You see, transformation, preparation for the coming of God is where you let it go and you trust. It's where you really put on Jesus Christ. Not just in your mind where you can say the Nicene Creed. That's all well and good. I'm grateful that you can say the Nicene Creed. But unless you really hold that in your life and say, you know, really, I trust? It doesn't mean a whole lot, does it? You might say a million times, I believe, I believe, I believe. But until you get to the place where, you know, I just know. In the book of Romans, it's really kind of interesting because it keeps talking about putting off things and putting on things. Putting on the armor of light, putting on Jesus Christ, but putting off the things of the darkness, the things that so often in times we find that we have to think we have in our everyday life. Well, do you need all those things? I mean, sooner or later, you're going to get to a place where you don't have those things. And we're called throughout the midst of the scripture to, in a sense, die to ourselves in an everyday way. Not where we think we got control over everything. I did everything. I got it all in the Lord. It's all handled. But rather where we just sort of walk with the living God and just sort of know it. And there's the fruits of the Spirit, love, peace, patience, joy that kind of come into our heart. And we practice those fruits of the Spirit more than we practice anything else. Because when we practice those things, they become us. Not where we pretend we've got them when we really don't. I wonder how many of us really know how to have faith. Let me ask you a question. How much faith are you willing to take on? And when I say faith, I mean, can you let 50% of your life be operated by faith? 50% of it. That would mean that if you lost your pension, your health, your money, everything, 50%, that you could take on 50% faith. How many of you can do 70%? Or you say, okay, if I lost 70% of everything I have of my own living, my home, my children, my partner, my, you know, sort of structure of how I think I'm in the right place in the right time in the right period of time, how many of you can let go and take on 70% faith? How many of you can go 90? just to make you feel better, I think I'm about 30. I mean, I like to be in control. I mean, and I'm good at being in control. And I can make my control really look like I'm doing everything right. But how much of it in my own life do I question to say, yeah, but how much am I really trusting God for, and how much am I, you know, really just relying on my own self? You see, that's where it enters into the anticipation rather than the expectation. When we expect, we design how the outcome has to be. When we expect it, and by God, if the expectation is lived into, then we say, ah, great. God and me, we did a good job. But a lot of the times, you know, it's more where we just sort of manipulated it so it looks like what we want. But anticipation is where you get to the place in your life where you say, it's just God, period. F.W. Meyer once said this. He said, unbelief is where circumstances get between us and God. Faith is where God gets between us and our circumstances. How often do you let circumstances get between you and God? You might not even think you do. You might think, well, you know, I have a right to be resentful. Well, you know what? If you're resentful, odds are you got something getting between you and God. Because God is all filled with grace and joy. And he doesn't want you to be destroyed. He wants you to create. He wants to lift you up. So if you got resentment, then to tell you the truth, you got some blockage right there to your faith. You're starting right off where the best you're going to hope for is 50%. Because it's when you have faith that all of a sudden, even in the midst of the worst tragedies, you know that God's there for you. You know, there's a simple old story that I remember hearing years and years ago, but it always stuck in my mind. It's about a family that lived in a two-story house, and the son, who was about 10 years old, slept upstairs in the second story, and the rest of the family was downstairs. A fire broke out inside the house. I mean, it was a massive fire. It spread very quickly, and the family, the majority of them all got out and got up onto the front lawn. They called the fire department, the whole nine yards. They got out front. But the 10-year-old was up in his room, and when the fire broke out, he couldn't get down the stairs. He had to climb out a window and get on the roof. He was out on the roof, and smoke is just billowing out. I mean, it's all over the place. And his father's down on the ground and knows his son's up there. He says, son, jump. I'll catch you. I'll catch you. And the son's looking down, but he can't see anything but the smoke. And he says, but Dad, I can't see you. I can't see you. I can't see you. And the father said, it doesn't matter whether you can see me or not. What matters is I see you. Do you know it? Now jump. You see, that's what to me faith is. It's where even despite my brokenness, even despite the bad choices I made, even despite the resentments, which, by the way, I carry, I know God sees me. I just know it. I just know it. And that gets me over the line to where, to tell you the truth, if push comes to shove, if I lose everything else, from my family to my home to everything else, I don't have to be resentful. I know God's there. And somehow in the midst of it, it's all going to come together. You might walk away right now thinking, man, he's a Pollyanna. But I don't think I'm a Pollyanna at all. I think I'm a realist. In the kingdom of God, that's called the already, but the not yet. But I'm anticipating the full coming of the Lord. I'm trusting that the God that I've known in this already, but not yet, I'm trusting. I'm trusting about everything. And the older I get, the more I got to trust, because the more things seem to just trickle through my fingers. Things that I thought never could happen in my own family. Things that I thought I could never do. Things, mistakes that I've made, and choices that were bad, and things things that I've seen over my life, and you know what? I got a lot more life behind me than in front of me. And you know what? Sometimes turning around and looking at doesn't do me a whole lot of good, because you know what? I see a lot of pit holes in the middle of it, and there's a lot of stuff I didn't do right. But I know that God's grace is sufficient. As we prepare for Christmas, I pray that you anticipate, not expect. And don't treat it like it's hurricane season, because you're not going to be able to bring all that stuff with you anyway. But know that God is with you. And you know what? Even if you only have 5% faith, he can make up the other 95%, but he does ask you to try and move that needle a little bit higher. Because if you're sitting here, you got a little bit more time. So move that needle from 5%, and maybe by the end of Advent, you can be up to 35%. And then watch what Christmas does for you. It's the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.